welcome back to the Kurt and Bob Show. He's Kurt, I am Bob. Today is Wednesday, April 17th. Kurt is feeling a little bit under the weather today, but we're still
Never
getting
lucky.
the podcast in. Phew, I'll tell you what, this allergies or whatever it is going around, man, it's tough right now. But still got a show to do here, Curtis, so we're going to hit a lot of defensive players today, kind of our defensive draft episode
Yes,
coming
sir.
up here first. So we'll hit D-line and then some DBs, kind of group them all in together. And then, you know, maybe we'll mention a linebacker or two, or possibly, you know, we
Sure.
talked about before the show, doing it a little bit later this week. But we'll kind of, we'll play it by ear. We'll see how this episode goes. So,
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
yeah, I mean, we'll hop right in with, as usual, our headlines. Curtis, as you mentioned, before the show when we were talking, not a whole lot going on right now. The only thing really is Eagles extending Devonta Smith through 2028. Contract is worth $75 million, $51 million being guaranteed.
Ooh.
So,
Ooh.
yeah, it's hefty. But for a guy like Devonta Smith, I don't know. He seemed a little bit underwhelming last year, but I feel like that was because the Eagles as a whole were underwhelming. What are your thoughts on this contract? Does he deserve it?
You put it best, Bob. I would regurgitate exactly what you just said. I mean, definitely leaves a little more to be desired, but he's reliable, right? I think he just got overshadowed, as well as a few players on that Eagles team, with the drama that were the Eagles last year. I mean, what was it, 9-1, 10-1, to then lose six of your last seven and get slaughtered by Baker and the Buccaneers in the playoffs? I mean, it was, you know, just the Eagles left every NFL fan with a very sinking feeling about their franchise. So it's going to be hard to talk about them in a happy light anytime this offseason, because all we can all remember is how, you know, they fell apart. And it's different, right? Because listen, if you have a tough start to the season and finish strong, that's nothing. That's normal for the NFL. We've seen the Bengals, you know, do that and get to the Super Bowl in the same season, right? We see it happen. But with the Eagles, it feels like they finished the season so poorly, and then they've lost, you know, Jason Kelce, their fearless leader at center here this offseason. There's still no answer to all the drama that was around A.J. Brown and Sirianni and everybody last year. They haven't really made any massive improvements in the offseason here. Aside from, of course, Saquon Barkley, right? That's a big one. You know, you get Saquon Barkley. So outside of that, the Eagles are still just a big question mark for me. So Devonta Smith, very happy for him. I was a fan of his, you know, coming out of the draft that year. You know, a nice 51 mil guaranteed, good for him. You know, get that money secured, and we'll see. You know, it's a three year extension, so I believe that builds on to his fifth year option, which wouldn't be till next year, because Devonta Smith was the same draft class as Jalen Waddle and Ja'Marr Chase, 2021. So this really puts Devonta Smith with the Eagles through 2028. So hey, listen, he's locked up. He knows where he's going to be the next few seasons. He's got plenty of guaranteed money. So wish the best for him, and hopefully the Eagles can shake off whatever the end of that season was for them, because they really, you know, nobody knew what happened. It you know, they had a, I remember us talking on the show about, oh wow, the Eagles are 9-1 or 8-0, whatever, and they've got such an easy back end of the schedule, right? I remember us saying that, and then here we are, you know, losing to the Giants, losing to the Cardinals, losing to, you know, they were losing everybody at the end of last year. So they need to get their heads screwed back on. Hopefully Saquon is a fun answer and a good answer for that offense to get some more production. Not that DeAndre Swift, I thought, did a great job, but, you know, Saquon Barkley is in a class of his own, right? And this is the first time we're going to see Saquon Barkley with a better supporting cast around him. We have yet to see that in his career on the Giants. So definitely some, you know, positives going into the draft and the season for the Eagles. But you said it exactly right. He kind of got washed away last season, but I think that was more the Eagles than himself as an individual.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much it for Devonta Smith, the Devonta Smith talk, and the headlines, really, sure. Curtis. Just,
yeah, that's really, there's a lot of clickbait this time of year, everyone. Like, don't, you know, everybody's got just, yeah, everything's going around, whether it's Rashee Rice, whether it's, you know, oh, I think this quarterback's going in the top two. You know, I think J.J. McCarthy's going to the Commanders now. I think, you know, like there's a lot of smoke screens going around, but lucky for us, a week and one day from today, Bob, we will be sitting down on the couch watching the draft actually happen and watching all of these mock drafts fall apart. That's the fun of it.
Yep. Yeah, we're getting real close here. So that'll be a perfect segue into us talking about our defensive episode here for the 2024 NFL Draft. Me and Curtis are going to talk about some interior defenders, edge rushers, and DBs kind of as a whole. So, Curtis, give me your top three. We're going to group in just D-line together, edge, interior defenders. They're one and the same here. So, I mean, they play different positions. Yep. But we're grouping them in for the purposes of this show. Give me your top three guys that you could that you'll probably see come off the board, or even your favorites. And give me maybe a fourth guy who you think is going to be someone that you like that's not necessarily a top three guy in this draft, but someone who you like.
Sure. Yeah, for me, this draft class, especially on the defensive line, there's your tier. You have a very clear tier one, I think, and that's, you know, four or five players that I'm sure we'll mention going through this. And then there's kind of a riskier drop off, you know, you just a little more uncertain, but definitely some talent still in the second and third round. So D line, I think our depth is pretty good comparatively. You know, if we're looking at safety, linebacker, there really isn't any depth there. And DB, there's definitely a steep drop off from tier one of that core as well. So my number one here, and just big fan of the player, big fan of his game, I love Dallas Turner. Like, is, you know, Dallas Turner, absolutely love him. Watching tape on Dallas Turner is just fun because it's Dallas Turner in the pinnacle of a college football defense that is a Nick Saban defense, right? We love to see it. So absolutely love Dallas Turner. I have really high hopes for him in the NFL. He's very young. He just turned 21 this year, so coming into the draft. So very young, 6'4", 242, kind of, you know, edge rusher, linebacker, hybrid. He's definitely going to be, you know, mixing it up and playing around in a few places here. But Dallas Turner is my favorite prospect projection-wise. You know, could he, you know, is he raw talent that, you know, maybe doesn't exactly find his home at a position and could succeed? Yeah, there is that risk there. But I think just as a prospect and with his raw talent, absolutely love Dallas Turner this season here coming up. So he's my number one. Bob, who's your number? You got someone else in number one there?
Yeah, I don't know. I like Jared Verse a lot. Yeah. I would probably put him as my number one, 1A like and 1B being Dallas Turner.
We're talking about Falcons draft picks here, honestly. That's really
right. But I just hate the thought of drafting an edge guy at eight, to be quite honest with you. I think we could wait and get, you know, maybe we don't get a Dallas Turner at eight, but, you know, we trade down and we go get, you know, Jared Verse or a Chop Robinson. Like, I feel like this edge class, there are like five really good guys that you could take that are kind of going to do the same thing. And I just don't like, it's I don't like the edge at eight. I don't like the edge at eight. I don't like that. Just trade down. Take another edge guy later. If it's Dallas Turner, great. If it's not, also great. Yeah, but Jared Verse will probably be my number one. Dallas Turner too. So,
yep.
Curtis, who you got? Who you got it to? Is it similar to what I'm working with here?
I have to put Jared Verse because I just loved Jared Verse at Florida State. But you know, it's very close with the guy I put at three, and I'll go right in there. That's Byron Murphy. Byron Murphy second. I'm big fan of Byron Murphy. I love Tavondre Sweat as well. He's had a couple off the field fumbles in the last week here, so he's not doing himself any favors draft stock wise after what was a very impressive combine for someone at Tavondre Sweat's size. But Byron Murphy is definitely more of the NFL prospect. So yeah, Jared Verse is going to come in at two for me. You know, big fan of him at Florida State. It's hard to miss him on the film when you watch it. He, you know, he's exceptional athlete. He is old, you know, he is on the older end, so he's going to be, I believe, 24 by the end of the year. So we'll see if that factors in at all. Based on his output, I would hope it doesn't. He almost reminds me a bit of Jermaine Johnson, who came out of Florida State and was same story, right? Just a couple of years ago, he was older prospect. You know, he had been at Georgia, transferred to FSU, and came in. You know, Jared Verse and him are very similar in terms of situation and, you know, age, but, you know, some teams look at the age as a positive as well, right? So that absolutely could be the case. And then, like I said, Byron Murphy at number three. To me, he's no-brainer, like, best interior defensive lineman in this draft class. It's really not close, maybe with one of the other FSU guys here that I'll put as my, like, my fun pick. But, yeah, Byron Murphy. So, for me, it's going to go Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, and Byron Murphy. Now, a lot of people, especially over the last few weeks specifically, Laiatu Latu, he has flown up these boards. And yeah. I'm hesitant because I'm not with it. Yeah, I don't know if I can trust it. And also, it's Pac-12 Pac-12 offensive lineman as well, right? Like we've
what I was thinking.
Yeah, we've seen this story before. You know, Kayvon Thibodeau is a guy. You know, he's not too long ago. He's had some good seasons, but he's definitely struggled a bit overall in his career. He hasn't had that pop off season yet. He hasn't had that staple game yet. And I really like Kayvon Thibodeau. I hope he does come into that this coming year, but it's with Pac-12 edge rushers where I go, I don't like, I want to pick them because I'm a big fan of the Pac-12, you know, Braylon Trice, he's in this class. He'll be deeper down the draft boards from Washington, but I don't know if I can trust them, especially like, again, Bob, when you look at this talent, it's no shot at them. It's just that Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, Byron Murphy, like, They've been doing the best against some of the best, so that's why they have to be 1, 2, and 3 for me in my eyes. What's the end of your 1, 2, 3 here with Verse at 1 for you?
Yeah. So I'm gonna put, I think just to put an interior, because I do want to put Latu at 3, but this is supposed to be interior as well. So I'm gonna save my last two because my more fun pick. We may be on the same page with the more fun pick because I got to see this guy at the combine. He was really impressive.
Yeah.
But Byron Murphy's going to be my 3. And then my 4 is going to be Braden Fisk.
Love
Braden Fisk. I think the Falcons should just wait to take. I understand that edge and interior are different positions, but Braden Fisk is awesome. And he is just so clinical and precise with what he does. He's so strong. I mean,
he'll slip to you on the second. I fully believe that. I think he'll slip out of the first.
I would, and that's what I'm saying. I think we should wait. Take a guy like a Braden Fisk instead of an edge guy at 8. Like, trade down. I'm fine if we take an edge guy. Just trade down to that 8 spot. Take an edge guy later, and then go get Braden Fisk.
Yeah.
That would be a perfect situation for me and kind of bolster that defense. And, you know, we got some interior defenders. And, you know, you think about Grady Jarrett and mm-hmm. You know, we're losing Calais Campbell. He's retiring, so we need kind of an edge guy, some of these interior guys.
Yeah.
But when Grady Jarrett is coming off of an ACL injury, right? He tore his ACL.
Yeah.
I think Grady Jarrett's phenomenal. But Braden Fisk, I think, would be – I really, really like Braden Fisk. So that's
like
going to be my 3
of
and
a
4.
Trade down. I like your thoughts of a trade down out of 8.
Trade down out of 8.
Maybe trading down, still getting a Jared Verse or, you know.
That's
Dallas,
what I'm
Dallas
saying.
Turner,
you trade
whoever,
down. You can take an edge guy, just not at 8. Don't take him at 8. Please don't take him at 8.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you could totally trade down there. Still maybe get him around 12, 13, depending on who trades up. You know, everyone is pegging the Minnesota Vikings as the team that is going to trade up this year. So. That could very well be the case. You know, maybe they're interested at getting up to 8 here. We'll see who's on the board still. That's going to be a really contentious spot. But yeah, then doubling up in the second round and getting that interior defensive lineman with Braden Fisk. That could be nice.
Yeah.
That could be nice. I will say
that
though,
is my ideal draft.
When we talk about the team, because we're going to talk about the teams and team needs and everything, especially, you know, we're going to hammer in on the Dolphins, the Falcons next week. I'll give you something to ponder for the weekend, Bob. What about a corner? What about an early corner? Because I think this corner class falls off too. So maybe even getting a corner in the first round and coming back, you know, with an edge or an interior lineman in the second. So listen,
works for me.
Lots on the table for the Falcons. They have some fun picks to make here. You know, because whoever they take on the defensive side of the ball is going to be a day one starter for y'all. Absolutely. So it's something. But yeah, my fourth guy here that, you know, I'm excited to see where he goes is actually, it's going to be Darius Robinson from Missouri. Missouri was a weirdly like solid team this year. Like they gave Georgia some fits. They won some big game. Like Missouri was a very strong defensive unit. And, you know, you can see why when watching guys like Darius Robinson and then Rakestraw, I believe one of their corners, he's going to go in the top two rounds of this draft as well. I really like Darius Robinson. I'm excited to see where he goes. He's an edge rusher, 6'5", 300, out of Mizzou here. And, you know, he had some pretty good success against some of those SEC D or O lines, right? So 9 sacks on the season previous. So, you know, maybe he finds that similar production. I think he'll be a guy that's there at the top of the second round that some teams will be looking at as well. You know, there's so many names. You know, I mentioned I wanted to use Braylon Trice, but I think he's kind of fallen down in the process, just, you know, injury related. He's a bit older as well. And, you know, there is that, can he do it against the best? Because he did disappear in some games for Washington last year against some teams that they played. So we'll see. I still really like him as well. Shout out Braylon Trice, but Darius Robinson is going to be my fourth guy to watch for sure. I'm excited to see who might be able to snap him up later in the draft.
Yep. Cool, Curtis. Well, let's transition now to our DBs, cornerbacks and safeties, pretty much who we're going to focus on this one, Curtis.
Yep.
Give me your we'll group them in here. You can give me, you know, top three. And you know, even add a throw in a fourth guy there as well, since we did the same with the interior or the defensive line. So go ahead and give me your top three safety and corners.
Yeah, I mean this one's tough for me. A 1A and 1B is Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell, and I feel like we're gonna be in line on that. These two guys are definitely top tier talent in this draft. You know, we talked about Cooper DeJean's pro day in last week's episode, only being a week and a half, 2 weeks removed from an injury and putting up phenomenal, you know, numbers and measurables and all the drills and, you know, everything he did. So Cooper DeJean definitely did himself a lot of favors last week at his pro day. Quinyon Mitchell, the combine was the Quinyon Mitchell show this year. It was unbelievable what he was able to do. And on top of the combine, you know, he's not just a guy who slipped under the radar, right? He was an extremely high performing corner at Toledo. So that's the knock on him, right? Is Maction. But you know what? When you're that good and you look that good against the rest, you know, Quinyon Mitchell was doing some reps against, I believe it was Ricky Pearsall at the combine. And, you know, he was locking him down. He was running stride for stride with him. He is definitely a threat. So I can't pick between these two guys. I just can't do it either. They're both phenomenal, and I think they're really exciting. And after those two, I think the DB class gets really a bit mucky. I think you can really argue for any of these guys over the other. My number two slot, I'm gonna go Mike Samristil out of Michigan. I think he's going a little bit under the radar almost, but I really like him at the corner position. And listen, Michigan, let's not all forget, you know, Michigan's got so many players in the draft this year. JJ McCarthy's taking a lot of the shine. Blake Corum's taking a lot of the attention. But let's not forget what got them to that championship. That is that Michigan defense that we saw last year. So Samristil was a huge part of that. Had a couple key interceptions last year. And I believe it was he had the interception against, against Kyle McCord in the Michigan-Ohio State game in the first quarter, I believe. So, like, he's got that big play potential, and I like him a lot at number two. So where are you at with me here so far, Bob? Because those are three names. I'll toss it to you for your favorite three, because those are definitely the three that I'm most excited for here.
I am not with you on the Mike Sanderstil
Ooh,
pick.
drama.
I think he's bad.
No
I don't think
way.
he's
No
good.
way.
Yeah, I
You're
think he's
crazy.
bad. If you will, if also he's 5'10", so
He
dude's
is. He is.
small.
He's a small boy.
But
He's a small boy.
you look at his best games, and it's against like Iowa, and Iowa doesn't pass. Like they don't
Run
play. And you look
support.
at and see who he got torched by, like Purdue, Minnesota, Nebraska. He did not play well against Alabama. He didn't play well in the big games.
He does have some
And I
low
mean, you know,
lights.
he had some, you know, some highlights as well, but they're highlights, and they're very particular moments that he happened to be in. I
Fair.
think there are some better guys in this draft. I think honestly, my one is going to be Quinyon Mitchell. I think Cooper DeJean is just the reason he's jumped up to above Quinyon Mitchell on a lot of people's boards is because of his 40 time. Like he's fast, but like also he plays for Iowa. Let's be for real. And Quinyon
Hey,
Mitchell,
Iowa's
granted,
got
he
great
does play
defense.
for,
Yeah, Iowa got
yeah,
great defense, though.
but in Toledo, you know, Quinyon Mitchell, he plays for Toledo too. So,
Yeah.
but he's just Quinyon Mitchell's just you watch him and you know he's going to be something. And you know, Terrion Arnold is good. Nate Wiggins is really good. But I seriously think my third corner is, and like you said, it does get a little mucky, is Kamari Lassiter. You know, he has slipped down boards for some unknown reason.
Because he's
This guy plays in
slow,
the
isn't he? Isn't
SEC.
that what
Some of his
it
big games, I don't know if he's slow. I mean, he's not the
is?
fastest corner
He's
out there by,
NFL slow.
yeah.
NFL.
But he had, I mean, some of his interceptions, like he is really good in coverage.
He's a ball
His
hawk, yeah.
man coverage grade is phenomenal. So I'm just so confused as to how you look at a guy like Kamari Lassiter, who is graded above a lot of these other guys, and why is he so far down boards? It doesn't make sense to me. It's mind-boggling. So I got to see Kamari Lassiter a lot. He's a really good corner. He's an NFL corner for sure. I will stamp that with my name that Kamari Lassiter is an NFL
All right,
cornerback.
all right.
And I can't necessarily say the same about a lot of these guys. Yeah, it's just, oh, I don't know. It's just the Kamari Lassiter slander is not something that I take lightly. So he's very good at football, and it's kind of a homer pick. And then I guess I'll just get into my fourth pick here as well.
Sure.
It's homer as well. We're gonna go safety, Javon Bullard. He's gonna make somebody in the second or third round. He's not gonna slip into the first. Definitely gonna be a second round pick. If he's a third
Yeah.
round pick, that's a crime. That's a steal for somebody else. Javon Bullard is an absolute dog. I mean, he's so good. He hits so hard. I mean, that's gonna be my four right there. It's a homer
Fair.
pick, but but I mean, I look at some of these other safeties like Tyler Newbin. All due respect to Tyler Newbin, he's not. I'm telling you, he's not Javon Bullard. The smarts that Javon Bullard has, unbelievable. He truly is. He is a different breed. And but a guy like Cooper DeJean, who is very versatile. I think that's what helps him out in this draft a lot. I think maybe that's why he's above like a Quinyon Mitchell is because Cooper can play. You can throw him out there on the defense and just, hey man, just play literally DB position, whatever
Yeah.
you want to. Just roam out there and
Little free
he'll be good.
safety.
So yeah, I think DeJean is probably I think he's that's why he's as high as he is, but he's still number two for me. Quinyon Mitchell's gotta be one.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, no, I like the Georgia boys. There's a lot of Georgia boys coming out this year. I believe four
yeah.
DBs for y'all, so I'm sure all of them will go in the top 4 rounds because, you know, obvious
Tyke
success.
slept on,
Yeah, Tyke Smith, yeah.
tremendously slept on.
Another guy I
He
like who I think is slept on and is overshadowed by some of the other guys that we've already talked about actually is Jerrion Jones out of Florida State. You know, we got Jared Verse and Braylon Fisk in here. Jerrion Jones has had two great seasons back to back, and he's actually a corner that I've watched some of the tape on, and he's extremely physical. He gets in there, he gets after it. I'm very excited to see because I think he's got all the right stuff to be an NFL corner. He's a bit smaller as well, 6 foot 191, but you know, I don't think that's a big problem, obviously, with my also love for Samer still as well. I believe in the small boys. I believe in them. And, you know, I think they can show out. So Jerrion Jones, he's another guy that I'm excited. You know, he'll be a second, maybe third rounder for sure. But I am excited to see where he ends up going, because he had a phenomenal, you know, this Florida State defense this year as a whole was very good. You know, we love talk about Trey Benson. We love talk about Keon Coleman. We love talk about Jordan Travis. But this Florida State defense has just as many stars on it. And, you know, they got a lot of, I believe they have, oh, I want to say it's the third most players in the draft this year, Florida State does. Like, they've got a lot of kids leaving for the draft, and I think there's a lot of talent to be had there. So Jerrion Jones is my kind of sneakier pick there. Like, he'll definitely slide under the radar as well.
Yeah, I like that Jerrion Jones. I like that the Jerrion Jones pick a lot. I think he's even better than a guy who a lot of people think that Renardo Green is a better corner out of FSU. I kind of agree with you on the Jerrion.
I like Jerrion Jones.
Yeah. I think Jerrion, yeah, I think he'll be pretty good. And like, you know, he had like three picks last year. And I mean, his coverage was pretty good. His man coverage was really good. It's just, you know, you look at some of the receptions and their targets, like the ball didn't go his way a whole lot. So that's a good sign as well.
Usually a compliment. Yeah. And I am personally, you know, hand up, listen, if I'm playing Madden, I'm sorting the corner by their man coverage grade. I am a sucker for man coverage. I love man coverage. Get the blitz on. Get someone extra in there. Get in their face. Love Jerrion Jones for that reason. He is violent in man coverage. He is extremely talented there. So I'm excited to see where he goes. There's going to be a lot of sneaky guys. You know, some we didn't mention any of the Bama boys or Nate Wiggins, but they've been in limbo, it feels like, Bob. I think everybody's kind of, you know, floating around Kool-Aid McKinstry, Terrion Arnold, and Nate Wiggins. From the sounds of analysts and the media and everyone, and even, you know, coaches' comments and everything, you know, it feels like those three will be going in the first round. It, you know, who knows? They might slip to the second, but if they do go in the first round, it's going to be in those 20s for sure.
Right.
You know, I think Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, those are going to be the guys we're going to see go in the top, you know, 15 probably. But that's really, really where the buck stops, I think, with DB. And then, you know, some of these other guys we mentioned, the UGA boys, Jerrion Jones, right? Mike Samrat still. All of these guys are kind of going to be in a mess. And it's just going to be a question, honestly, very similar to last year's corner class, if I remember right, with there was Deontay Banks. There was the corner from A&M. There was the corner from Miami, Jalen Johnson, I think. You know, there was just a big, you know, they were all projected in the same kind of area, and it's really just on the team at that point. Hey, which one do you like over the other? Because, you know, analysts and everybody in the offseason here are having a hard time separating them, but, you know, that's what the scouts and everyone are paid to do. So we'll let them figure it out, and we'll can't wait to talk about it after the draft and when we see where all these guys end up going.
Yeah. Yeah. So that about wraps us here, Curtis. We got a lot of conversations in about all these guys. Got our best guys in. I mean, it's going to be fun to see. I think there's this DB class is pretty darn talented.
I think there
are seriously going to be some sleepers. There are seriously going to be some guys that we haven't mentioned. Like maybe even like a Rutgers Max Melton. Like who knows?
I actually watched him during the season.
Right.
Man, yeah.
Like there's some guys that just fly under the radar that you're like, you know, like you've heard their name maybe once or twice and you're like, but they play on like a Rutgers or like a, you know, Miles Harden who plays for South Dakota. You know what I mean? Like these guys that you don't. So there are going to be some sleepers in this DB class. There always are. And it'll just be interesting to see where they go and to see who gets a really good value pick. Obviously hindsight's 2020. So
exactly. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's so much talent, you know, whether it's O-line, D-back, D-line, and then, you know, we've talked in excess about the quarterback and receiver class, right? Everybody has. I mean, it really feels like this draft almost has two first rounds in terms of talent. It's unbelievable. Some of the players and names that you are like, we're going to be sitting there Thursday. You know, I'm sure there's going to be three or four shocking names that fall out of the first round. There always is every year, but even more so this year, because there are so many polarizing players here that some people, oh my God, he's my number one guy. Some guys, he's not even in my top five. You know, like it's a lot, right. A lot of back and forth, you know. These guys are all going to find a home, and I'm excited to see when. So next week, we're going to be focusing more on team needs. We're going to take a look at the draft as it is, how it's going to play out, talk about some storylines, narratives, and everything. And then we're also going to have a mock draft. So probably two longer episodes next week. I'll be off the day job, so me and Bob are going to get going on it early and get you guys some solid content next week to, you know, warm up for the big day Thursday, which, I mean, it's nice, Bob. It feels a little early this year. It's sometimes it falls on that 28, 29, but we got on the 25th this year. So we're a little lucky this time around, I think.
Yeah. We're looking forward to it next week, Curtis. I'll be, Friday night will be a big night. We're going to have, at my job, we'll have, some exclusive interviews with some Panthers. Maybe some Bryce Sweet. Young, maybe some Dan Morgan.
Yeah,
will be coming live from the stadium. So that'll be pretty cool. But yeah, maybe I'll have some insider information. We'll see. We'll see what I can dig up on next week.
Sounds good to me. The pod, but
stay tuned, guys. We'll catch you guys later this week. Hopefully, we'll be back with another episode here, kind of rounding out this entire draft class. And then next week it's mock time. So buckle up. It's coming real soon. So thanks, guys, for tuning in. We'll catch you guys later.
See you then.